minog was that at the end of every one of the 14 svarim of Mishneh Torah, he ended on like a nice hashkafic idea. And so he ends with a very beautiful, inspirational idea, which is really right for everyone to think of, regardless of the particular topic we're holding in now, which is, below Shevet Levi Bilvan, not only Shevet Levi, that Hashem pater from Ol Inyanu Olam Hazeh, and just give them a parnas of Meiser so that they can be Osik B'Torah, Ela Kol Ish V'Ish Mikol Boy Olam, any person in the entire world, fascinatingly here, there, he doesn't even say Mikol Yisrael, Asher Nodva Rucho So V'Vinu Madol La'ibod De Lamel V'Hashem L'Shar Shul Ovdo Deis Hashem, whose intellect has caused them to be wise enough to separate themselves from Olam Hazeh, and just concentrate on increasing his knowledge of Hashem. Of a holach yashik mosa show elakim and go straight the way Hashem created him. Of kork me al tzavur olech hashmonos harabim shebikshu bnei adam, and took off of his chest all of the yoke of all of these hashbonos calculations that everyone invents. Harizin is kadosh kodesh kadoshim, becomes kodesh kadoshim v'yashem chelko v'nachlosu li'olam v'olam v'olam, and Hashem will be his chelak and nachla like he was with Bnei Levi forever. And Hashem will be mezakeh him in Olam Hazeh, everything he needs. Meaning if someone just takes the burden of calculations off themselves, just goes straight the way Hashem created people, and is mekadosh himself for Hashem, he'll be kodesh kadoshim, and Hashem will take care of him. So there are those who want to read that as the Rambam really meant that you shouldn't be osek in ma'alacha, you should just, you know, be like Shevet Levi and be kulo kodesh kadoshim and ask people for money. But I'll be pashtos, I don't think the Rambam is changing his mind here at the end of Shemitah Yovel. The Rambam means you should go straight the way Hashem created you and not engage in cheshbonos rabim, calculations. What does that mean? For the Rambam, going straight is yafet talmud Torah derech eretz, is having a job. Just means, you know, most people are cheshbonos rabim. They say, well, I have a job, but do I have enough money to send my kids to camp? I have a job, but what if I lose my job, then I need some money in reserve. Well, how's my 401k doing? You know, v'chuli, everyone has cheshbonos, which keeps them from learning. If someone just has a pasha job and doesn't make any cheshbonos, then he says, what does he say? Hashem will take care of them and give them what they need in Olam Hazeh. He doesn't say human beings will take care of them. He doesn't say the community will take care of them, tzedakah will take care of them. He says, if you put your faith in Hashem and don't make cheshbonos, Hashem will make things work out for you. But I don't think the Rambam's retracting here. The Rambam still holds the chil Hashem for a Talmid Chacham to ask for tzedakah, to ask people for money, or to be supported by others. He's just telling us that if someone, instead of making cheshbonos like most people and just concentrating all the time making money, they go straight and just have an honest living and just do a very minimal amount of work, like the Rambam talked about, you know, just 1 or 2 hours a day and live a very Spartan lifestyle, then they don't have to worry that something will happen. They'll be in trouble in Olam Hazeh, Hashem will take care of them. But I think the diaglush of the Rambam here is not at all that he's saying, you know, other people will give you money. He's saying, if you are in his cottage, Kodesh Kodashim, Hashem will take care of you. But that doesn't mean, that means you'll go to work and Hashem will give you a big salary. I don't think that means you should ask other people for money. So the Rambam is very stark on this idea that there's no such thing as being supported, whether in kollel, whether it's a rabbi, whether it's a dayan, etc. That the Rambam is very stark on this idea that everyone has to work. Everyone has to work for a living. However, he was very much a dafi yachid in this respect. The Gaonim, obviously at the Shtei Yeshivas we discussed yesterday, who disagreed with him. Throughout the generations in the Rambam's time, after the Rambam's time, these communities all supported their Rabbanim. I mean, they didn't have thousands of people learning Kol. They couldn't afford that kind of thing, but they supported their Rabbanim, they supported the Talmid Chacham, they supported all the Torah leaders of the community, took a salary from the community, like they do nowadays, like the rabbi gets a salary nowadays, and the Rosh Hashiva gets a salary nowadays. This was the minhag always. The minhag was never like the Rambam. And the Kesef Mishnah goes through how to deflect the various proofs of the Rambam, and he points out that in truth, as much as the Rambam sounds like a very nice idea, the Rambam's proofs are not very convincing. What was the Rambam's proof? He said, look, all the Tanaim and Amoraim had jobs, they all worked, none of them asked other people for money. But the Kesef Mishnah says it's not so pashut, that's a matter of interpretation. Right? He says, Rav Yosef, Rav Sheshes says, Malacha's grapes, it makes us sweat and warms us up. And the Rambam says, you see, they did malacha, they carried heavy things. And Rashi says, no, it meant they were sick, and for exercise, the doctor prescribed that they should do malacha. So he points out they're actually blind. It's unlikely that they would be hired to actually transport heavy things. The The Hillel was, Rambam says, was chopping wood. So he says, Chazmish says, look at the story. When was Hillel chopping wood? When he was a nobody, and no one thought he knew anything about learning, and until he went up to the skylight and looked down and got covered with snow, then they realized he was serious about learning. But of course he chopped wood at first. If no one knew he was serious about learning, he was just another guy who, you know, who showed up in the back of the base medrash. Of course he's not going to get supported by the community. He wasn't anyone special then. The community didn't support everyone in the world. Only the Talmid Chacham were very successful. So he says that doesn't really prove very much either. So the Ketzemish says all these, it's not so pashut in Shas that all the Tanam and Amar Ram really worked. I mean, we do have ideas. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, we know Rabbi Yeshua was maybe a blacksmith. But it could be that this was, it could be that this was their profession maybe before they were big famous Talmid Chachamim. Or maybe these were people who had an easy profession and were able to make money well, right? Said Rabba was watering in the fields. Said, yeah, Rabba had fields. He watered them a little, and that was okay. And he was able to make a parnasa without asking anyone for money. So the Ketzemish says, we really don't have a proof from Shas that all the Tanam and Aram had jobs. Maybe those who had enough money or lucrative enough parnasa, they could work a little and make money for themselves was great. But those who didn't, maybe they got supported from the Tzibur. The Rambam really didn't have such good proofs. Even the Rambam proof in the story of Rabbi Tarfon, when the guy kidnapped Rabbi Tarfon and took him in a sack because he thought he was a thief. Rabbi Tarfon saved him and was going to throw him in the river. Rabbi Tarfon saved himself by pointing out he was Rabbi Tarfon. Then he was upset that he used the covet of Torah. Ketzemish says that just means Rabbi Tarfon was rich. He should have tried to bribe the guy. Of course you're not supposed to use Torah to help yourself in Olam Hazeh if you have enough money to do it without Torah. Maybe that's why he was upset. When we had that one Talmud of Yonas and Ben Amram, who, you know, didn't want to save as a Talmud Chacham and get food from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, because they didn't want to be Nene from Torah. Ketzemish says that all the other Talmidim did say they were Talmid Chachamim and get food from Rebbe in the time of famine. There's only one guy who was super from, who didn't want to go to Nui Shir Sadin and not be Nene from Torah. But really, point out, if you go through Shas, there's not really a clear proof that all the Tanam and Amaram had jobs. And there's not really a clear proof that it's usher to be Nene from Divrei Torah. What about the fact, and this is the crucial Ashkafic point that it says in Pirkei Avos, Al Tasei Matorlis God Lehem Velo Kardim Lach Borahem, right? The Shtamish Betaga Chalav Kolon Nani Divrei Torah Net Notal Chayv and Olam. It says Mefurish in Pirkei Avos. If you get enough in Divrei Torah, you lose your Olam Haba. You can't make it a Kardim Lach Borahem. So the Ketzemish says a very important part. He says there's two different ways of getting money for learning Torah. There's someone who wants to get money as an umnus and learns Torah in order to get money. That's what they're criticizing in Pirkei Avos. If you're learning Torah in order to make money, if it's a good parnasa, that's what's in the Pirkei Avos. You're making the Torah kardim lach borbo, that's a chilul Hashem. That's losing your chelek in olam haba. If you think Torah should be used for a parnasa, that's losing your chelek in olam haba. If Torah is used for money, that's losing your chelek in olam haba. But the Ketzemish says, we're not debating that. No one's saying it's mutter for Torah to be a parnasa, for a father to say to his son, look, as a lawyer, you can make this much money, a doctor this much money, as a rabbi that much money. Maybe you should be a rabbi. Of course that's a terrible chol Hashem and a desire to covet a Torah. We're not talking about using Torah. Mishnah is criticizing using Torah for money. But that's not what the Minhag HaOlam is. The Minhag HaOlam is not to use Torah for money. It's to use money for Torah. It's that people want to learn Torah and teach Torah because they want to do it l'shma. But you can't learn Torah if you have no food to eat, and if you go out to work, you won't be able to learn Torah. Therefore, in order to learn Torah, you get money from the community. That's not making Torah kardom lach borbo. It's not making Torah a way to make money. No, the Torah is not in order to make money. The Torah is lishma. The money is in order to learn Torah. So he says, all a matter of your ashkafa. If you really think you're learning in order to get money, that's what Pirkei Avos says. You lose your faith in Olam Haba, and you're a terrible Russian. But if you're really learning lishma, you just need money to keep learning. Then that's not what the Mishnah Avos is criticizing. That's not making Torah kardim lach borbo. That's learning Torah lishma. Torah is not for money. You're learning Torah for Torah. However, people give you money so you can keep learning Torah. But it depends what the purpose is. If the purpose of Torah is Torah, you just need money to keep learning Torah. That's not what the Mishnah Avos was criticizing, says the Kesef Mishnah and Rov Rishonim. They were criticizing if you learn Torah in order to make money, that's where you lose your chelek in Olam Haba. That's a very good shot in Pirkei Avos. Pirkei Avos never said you're not allowed to get money for Torah. Pirkei Avos meant you're not allowed to learn Torah in order to make money or covet or hana'ah. The purpose of Torah can't be for money or covet. But once you learn Torah, if then you need to take money from people in order to learn lishma, could be no one ever asked that. And that's the psak of the Kesef Mishnah. He also has a few places in Shas where he finds a raya for this. But the Kesef Mishnah says, look, it wasn't only the sick and old Talmidei Chachamim who got money from people for tzedakah. All Talmidei Chachamim did. And he points out that actually, if you think about it hashkafically, a number of ideas in Shas we know, like this. Shas says, Amay Yoritz, how did they get into Olam Haba? By supporting Talmidei Chachamim. And we all know they give you Sachar and Zevulun, right? Zevulun supported Talmidei Chachamim. Obviously, it's a nice thing to support Talmidei Chachamim. And forget about it, just go to the Torah. How does the Torah envision society? It's very different. It was a tribal system then. There's supposed to be a tribe of Talmidei Chachamim, the Kohanim and Leviim. And how did the Kohanim and Leviim make a parnasa? It's before Shem, it's with Doraisa. The Kohanim and Leviim made a parnasa by being supported from the Tzibur. Because they were Yoram Mishpatech Yaakov. They were spreading the Torah among Klal Yisrael. So it seems pretty mefurish, the Kazimish said, that hashkafically we don't have a problem with people taking money from the Tzibur in order to be Osek Batorah. The problem is just they're doing it in order to make money. But if they're doing it Lishma, they just need money to live. Right? I need money to live. Either I'm going to be able to teach Torah, or I'm going to die of starvation, or I'm going to... I'm going to take money from other people, or I'll die of starvation, or I'll go to work as an accountant and I won't teach Torah anymore. So if I really want to teach Torah Lishma, and the other two options, going to work as an accountant means I can't teach Torah, and dying of starvation means I can't teach Torah, so might I have to take money from the tzibur. But that's not what the Mishnah novice was criticized. And that's the case. The Mishnah said that Tashbetz, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Mem, Beis the Kuf Mem Ches, discusses this in great detail, marshals all the proofs. Everyone in the world paskin basically against the Rambam on this, like the Minhag Olam, that you're allowed to support Talmidei Chachamim. Now I just want to end by pointing out that there are probably at least the Kesef Mishnah in the end. What did the Kesef Mishnah say in the end? He says a three-pronged pattern. First, he points out that, and here's the Rambam agrees, that it's mafurish in Shas, that we would use the shkolim, the machzis hashekel, to give money to the Talmidei Chachamim, who taught the halachas of kachim to the Kohanim. We would support a kolal Talmidei Chachamim Shalayim to teach the Kohanim all the laws of kachim. Not all the Kohanim were so smart that they could know Shas on their own. We need to pick the smartest people from all of Klal Yisrael, bring them to Yerushalayim, let them sit and learn kachim like the Briskers. And then if the Kohanim had any shaylos, they would first teach every kohen when he's young how to do the avod, and if they had any shaylos, they would clarify it. Because not every kohen was able to be sholed in kachim. So those people would get paid from the Trumas HaLishka, from the Machzis HaShekel, from tax money that all Jews paid. They would be supported out of the public treasury of taxes. And not only that, the Dayanim of Yerushalayim would be supported from the treasury. And Tosfos already points out. Tosfos asks, how could you support the Dayanim and the people who teach the Halachos of Kachim from the Machzis HaShekel? Don't we know it's also to charge money for Torah? Right? It's also to charge money for Torah. We learned that already, right? For Gemara, for Torah Shavuot Peh, you can't charge money. So watch the shot. So he says, no, they're not charging money for Torah. They're teaching Torah Lishma, but they need a parnasa. Otherwise, how are they going to live? It's not like they have money in the bank, but they say, you want me to teach you? You're a Kohen, you want to learn the laws of Kmitza? That'll be $100. No, Chas V'Shalom, that would be a bizarre Torah. You can't charge money for Torah. That they were teaching Torah Lishma, just they needed to live. You need a parnasa, so therefore they have to get a salary from the tzibur, not in exchange for their teaching Torah, like Torah is something you sell. But just they needed a stipend to support them in order to be able to do what they were doing. And the Tosfos is saying the exact idea of the Kesef Mishnah. Tosfos is saying, of course, people can't charge money for Torah. And people can't go into Torah for money. But if someone's holding in Torah, the community needs to support them, because otherwise they're not going to be able to hold in Torah. And that's what Tosfos explains, and the Kesef Mishnah says, that he thinks this is sure. And in the end, he says he has three ways of justifying our practice of paying rabbis. Number one, which is Dachuk, says maybe the Rambam just meant you should try to make a parnasa on your own. But if not, then the community will support you. And the Rambam really meant it's okay if he has trouble making a parnasa on his own. Like, let's say I know I need to learn 9 hours a day in order to be holding in Torah enough. And I have another 4 hours for work. So if I can make a parnasa in 4 hours, I should try. And if not, I'll get money from the tzibur. That's, he says, he admits that's a little dachuk. The Rambam sounds like you shouldn't get money from the tzibur at all. So number one, maybe the Rambam admits if you can't make a parnasa and hold in learning, you're allowed to take money from the tzibur. B, he says, even if the Rambam doesn't admit, okay, we know that what do you do if you're not sure what the halacha is? What's the principle? You go by the rov or the, Yerushalmi says, the minhag. Right? You go by the minhag olam, right? Well, you don't know. There are two shitas. Moshe Fein says X, Shlomo Zalman Aruch says Y. What do you do? Everyone knows you go by the Minhag Olam. What does the Olam do? It says the Minhag Olam is not like the Rambam. So even though the Rambam holds us, the Minhag Olam not like that, and we hold it's mutter, like the Rishonim would say it's mutter. That the Minhag Olam is wrong. Okay, so the Kesemish says, but the Rambam's wrong about that. The Rambam says, this is such a stupid Minhag Olam, must be wrong. The Kesemish says, no. You could say one way, you could say the other way. So follow the Minhag Olam. Apparently the Rambam thought it was so posh it, there weren't even two ways. And the third thing the Kesemish says is, Eis la'asos Hashem efir v'tor secha. Even if it is usher to pay rabbis, and talmidei chachamim, and rabbanim, says maybe that was in the old days, when they had a madriga of Torah, that they could work and be talmidei chachamim. Nowadays, you know what would happen if we never paid people who are holding in Torah, and everyone had to get a job? So nowadays, everyone would have to work all day long to support themselves, because it's hard to make a living, and we're not in such a madriga of Torah, so no one would ever know any Torah. And if no one ever knew any Torah, then what would happen to the Jewish people? He said, for a continuation of the Jewish people, in order to keep the Masorah going, we need to pay rabbis nowadays, because otherwise no one's on the Madrega where they could work as an accountant and be a big Talmud Chacham. And we'd have no Talmud Chachamim, and then where would we be? That would be the end of Judaism. So he says, A, maybe the Rambam really says it's mutter, he just thinks Lachachili should try to make a Parnassa. B, even if the Rambam holds its usher, the Minhag Olam is against the Rambam. And C, even if the Rambam's right, it doesn't matter. Emergency measure, Eis la'asos Hashem efir v'tor secha. Nowadays, we have no choice but to pay Rabbanim, because otherwise, and maybe the Tanoim, maybe even the Rambam was right, all the Tanoim worked. The Tanoim were on the Madrega, they could work and be Tanoim. Nowadays, on the Madrega, if someone worked as an accountant, they would like, they would know a little daf yomi. But they wouldn't know Shas and Poskim backwards and forwards. And if you don't have at least some people who know Shas and Poskim backwards and forwards, then who's going to lead the community? Who's going to Paskin? Who's going to teach Torah to the next generation? Therefore, he says it's totally mutter. And that is how we paskin that it's mutter.
What would the Rambam do with the
Yisachar and Zvulun? It's a very good question. As the Rambam is really, like everyone thinks, oh, the Rambam makes so much sense, but it's a big chiddush here. What about Yisachar and Zvulun? I don't know what the Rambam would say about that. It's a very interesting question.
That's what God specifically told people. That's the rule. I mean, that Zvulun
does. I mean, the Rambam never discussed Yisachar and Zvulun. I don't know. I mean, that God.
He gave them the right to say, I'm the God.
Right, it could be. The Rambam never actually quotes Yisachar and Zvulun, to the best of my knowledge. I don't know, maybe the Rambam held that's not what happened. Maybe the Rambam just meant, not that literally, because the Rambam does say in the end, that Talmichar are putter in taxes and other people should help them in business. Maybe it just meant, like, Zvulun helped Yisachar with their business. Like, Yisachar had businesses, maybe the Yisachar guys had stores. And the Zvulun guy says, I'm going to Turkey anyway to sell some goods. I'll take some of your goods and sell it also, and it won't be such a tercha. And they would, like, help the Yisachar make a parnasa with minimal effort. Maybe that's the Rambam says. But it's still not a Bzayin HaTorah, because they're not giving them free money. I'm speculating. Maybe. Now, Michael? I'm not sure. It's hard to tell, but even if he was, it's hard to tell how to analyze that, because like it was a family business, maybe the old Yarshim did together. What if the father dies and leaves a multi-million-dollar business to two sons, and one manages and the other doesn't? They're still both investors. They both own the capital. So I'm not exactly sure what the Rambam's family finances were. But the last thing I want to leave off is why is it mutter nowadays? Not nowadays. Why do we hold it okay to give money, for the tzibur to give money to Talmidei Chacham? And I think there are three different explanations for the minhag we have nowadays. Okay, good. Okay, hold that thought. Hold that thought, because I just want to read you the Rambam. There are three different madregas, I think, of who you give money to. According to the Kesef Mishnah, let's start with the Kesef Mishnah. Let's start with the Rambam quotes from the Abarbanel, and the Tashmitz also has this idea. He says, first he quotes the Rambam, that only sick and crippled and old Talmidei Chacham get money from the Tzibur. Because, of course, if someone's sick or crippled or old, you have to give him tzedakah, and the Talmud Chacham has to come first. But if he's an able-bodied man, then he should work and not ask for tzedakah. I mean, everyone agrees, if you have chas v'shalom, a guy who's like in the hospital and has cancer and needs money to support his family, then you should give money to Talmud Chacham before an Am Haaretz. Talmud Chacham is more deserving. But the Rambam would say, but if the guy's Baruch Hashem doesn't have cancer and he's a healthy 40-year-old man with all his limbs, then he should go to work and not ask for money. So that's the first thing our Makkos. He says, everywhere in Judaism, our minhag is, Sheharav shel ir, the rabbi of the city, gets a salary, even though in most of Jewish history it's been a pitiful salary, but a salary from the Anshei Ha'ir. Nowadays, Baruch Hashem, in many communities, they get a mechobet salary. Why? Kidei shelo yitzorich lasok b'malacha b'fnei abrios v'yisbaza Torah b'fnei ahamon. In order that he not have to work in front of people and be bizayin Torah. The Ramah quotes here, quoted through Abernel and the Tashbei, it's a very fascinating idea. Who does he say in the first day in the Ramah gets a salary? Only the, what did he just say? The Rav of the city, only the leader. Why? The Kesef Mishnah quoted, what's the Makor that midoraisa? HaKohen, HaGodol Meyachav, what's the drasha in Kohen HaGodol Meyachav? Gadlehu Meyachav, his brother should make him great. The Kohen Gadol has to be rich. And if he's not rich, then you make him rich and give him money. It says before Shol over Chazal, that when someone became a Rosh Hashiva, they would give him a lot of money. Why if someone's a Kohen Gadol or a Rosh Hashiva or a rabbi of the city, do they need a lot of money? Why do you think? Why do you think the Kohen Gadol needs to have a lot of money? What? Yeah, there's a certain covet of a leader, right? The covet of a manhig is that he should be wealthy. After all, how are people going to listen to him if he's a shlov? And that's what Ramah is saying. Why do we support the leader of the community? So we won't have to work in front of everyone and make a bizoyan of the and be mispazed, right? The Gemara says anyone who's the leader of the community shouldn't do malacha in public. The Rambam understands that that's because of, the Rambam understands, quoted here, that meaning he shouldn't do malach in public, kal v'chomer, he shouldn't like go to parties and eat and drink and get drunk in public, meaning he should hold himself to a very dignified standard in public or else it's a bizayon. The Rambam understands it's just about that in public you have a certain sneeze. If you're a leader, you can't like exert yourself too much in public. But Rashi says, why is a Talmid Chacham, not a Talmid, why is a leader of a community not allowed to work in public? Since the Bizoyan, the leader of the community, needs to work. Since the Bizoyan, the leader of the community, doesn't get supported by the community. For Rashi's understanding, if the leader of your community, if the manhigim, if the rabban, if the rabbi of the town has to go out and build bunks for a living, it's the bizoyan of the community. He's not choshev. He's choshev. He would have his own money. He wouldn't be a carpenter. So this is a little bit of the opposite philosophy of the Rambam. Of course, the Rambam says, Adrabba, the biggest covet if someone does an honest day's living, right? If someone goes out and works. But no, the most poskim say otherwise. It's a bizoyan if the leader of your community has to work and isn't independently and doesn't have enough money to support himself. If you want him to be able to lead effectively, if you want him to be a Kohen Gadol, if you want someone to be a leader, in order for them to be a leader, they have to be respected. In order for someone to be respected, they have to have a good living, and they have to not engage in menial labor. Again, the opposite of the Rambam. The Rambam would say, for someone to be respected, they should engage in menial labor, that everyone will see the true respect for them, that they're a truly honest person. But we paskin not that way. A, one reason to give money, if someone's the leader of the community, someone's the rabbi of the shul, the rabbi of the town, the rabbi of the town, or the Rosh Yeshiva, someone's a Rosh Yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva has to go out and build woodwork, or be an electrician, or be a plumber and snake your toilet, that's a bizoyan HaTorah. In order to have proper Kavod HaTorah for the leaders, in order for someone to be an effective leader, they need to be respected, and they're respected if they have an independent, if they have an income. We all know the way the world works is you look up, you don't look up to someone who's schlepping around and sweating in public, you look up to someone who has money. That's why Rosh Hashanah explains that the Gemara says, Ein Ruach HaKodesh Shora, Hashem only gives Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah to someone who's tall and handsome and rich and strong. Rosh Hashanah says, why? Why should it be someone who has good midos and he's smart and spiritual? The answer is because Hashem wants people to listen to a Navi. You're not going to listen to a Neb. You're going to listen to a guy who's handsome and tall and rich and strong, etc. So it could be in order to have effective leadership, the leaders need to be respected. In order to be respected, they need to be on a secure financial footing. That's Kohen Gadol Me'echav. You respect the Kohen Gadol more if he's rich. Now again, we didn't always make our leaders rich, but I have to at least make them comfortable. You don't respect someone as much if they're trying to scrape by a living in the Einei Bnei Adam. So that's the first part of the Ramah, that the leaders have to get money in order to ensure that they're respected. Now that lechora only applies, right, to the leaders. That was the Rosh Yeshiva or the Rav of the town. But a Rav or Rosh Yeshiva, in order to achieve the proper respect, can't be hustling for a living, has to be have a mechubed parnasa. That's one svara. What's the case of Mishnah svara for why we should pay Anyone who read through the end of the Kesef Mishnah? What's the Kesef Mishnah Svarah for why we should pay our? The first day of the Ramah is based on Kohen Agadol Me'echa. If you want someone to be a gadol in people's eyes, he has to be a gadol in money too. So therefore, you should give him money. And that's part of ensuring effective leadership. What's the Kesef Mishnah Svarah? Where does he? What's his basis for the idea that you should give money to Talmidei Chachamim? He based at the end very strongly, he talks about Eislas Os Lashem, on the idea of Machzah Shekel, Trumas HaLishka. What do we do with our Machzah Shekel? We gave it to what kind of people? Obviously, we used most of it for Korbanos. But we also paid salaries. Whose salaries did we pay out of it? The salaries of? What? The people that taught the Kohanim, the people who judged, what did these people have in common? Why did we pay these people salaries out of the Trumas HaLishka? Isn't Trumas HaLishka supposed to be for the, you know, Avodas HaTzibur? What? Otherwise, the Tzibur, right, these people are serving the Tzibur. Right? The Tzibur's needs need to be met. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. It says, the Rambam says it's ridiculous to tax people and say, give us money for yeshivas? So the Rambam's ridiculous. You ever hear of a society that didn't tax people for Tzarchi Tzibur? Could you imagine if someone were to get up and say, they're taxing me for roads and for streetlights and for police? I refuse to pay these taxes. They'd say, no, you idiot. You need roads, you need streetlights, you need police. These are needs of the Tzibur. You need an army. So therefore, you have to pay taxes. What's the Kesef Mishnah saying? There are needs of the Tzibur that need to be met. Right? You need Talmidei Chacham to teach the Kohanim. You need Dayanim. What are you going to say? Oh, we don't need to have Dayanim, but why should I pay taxes to support a Dayan? Because if you don't pay taxes to support a Dayan, then someone's going to come and rob your house and you won't be able to sue them. Right? You need certain, there are needs of the Tzibur that need to be met. And the Kesef Mishnah expands this. He says, it's a need of the Tzibur to have a rabbi to paskin shilos and teach Torah. It's a need of the Tzibur to have a Rosh Yeshiva, to give shiurim. That's a need of the Tzibur. And he even goes on to say, it's even a need of the Tzibur. Is it a need of the Tzibur to have like people learning in Kollel? Maybe it's only a need of the Tzibur to have Rosh Yeshiva. Is it a need of the Tzibur to have people learning in Kollel also? Why? Yeah, that's the principle. Im ein gediyim ein tyoshim. If there are no kids, there ain't going to be no goats. Right? If you don't have, starting out Talmidei Chachamim, you're not going to have advanced Talmidei Chachamim. Meaning, it's a need to support not only the Kesef Mishnah says the Melamdin and Talmideiyim. It's a need to support the Rosh Yeshivas and Talmidei HaYeshiva. Because if you don't have Talmidei HaYeshiva, how are you going to have poskim and leaders of the next generation? If I say I'm only going to support the Rosh Yeshiva, not anyone learning in Kollel, then all the Rosh Yeshiva are eventually going to get to their Mayav Esrim and die, and then we'll have to close up Judaism because there won't be anyone else who knows a sufficient quantity of Torah. So the Kesef Mishnah says that. The Kesef Mishnah says that really the basis for supporting Talmidei Chachamim is Tzorchei Tzibur. It's a need. They're supplying the needs of the Tzibur. Therefore, they have to be supported out of the monies of the Tzibur.
Why don't you say, for example,
Right, because the Gemara makes it sound like these people had a fixed salary. Now, the Rambam, of course, might say, this is a little unclear, he might say that was only for people connected to the Beis HaMikdash. It was special to the Beis HaMikdash, people who taught Kohanim. And that's what's funny. The Rambam, the Dayak, when he brings down Lashon Gemara, that Magi Sfarim should be Yushalayim and Dayan Igzelos should be Yushalayim. Might be the Rambam thought you could only use Machzah Shekel to pay Dayan Igzelos be Yushalayim, because they were necessary to protect the integrity of the Mikdash. And Magiyah Svarim should be Yerushalayim because they were necessary for the Mikdash. It could be the Rambam would say in Tel Aviv, you can't, Magiyah Svarim, people who check to make sure the Sifrei Torah are accurate. It could be the Rambam would say you can only pay them in Yerushalayim, not Tel Aviv, because in Yerushalayim there's a din in the Beis HaMikdash that you need to have an accurate Sefer Torah. And in Yerushalayim, you need to have Dayanik Zelos in Yerushalayim so that people won't steal in Yerushalayim because that would be a bizarre to the covenant of the Mikdash. So it could be the Rambam would have restricted that to Yerushalayim and would not view that as a general thing. That might be a special Mikdash then. With the for his work. Ah, so the Kesef Mishnah says that was when he was watering the field. He says that wasn't like he was working stam. What that meant was, I mean, again, it depends on your interpreting. It doesn't mean he had a full-time job watering the field. What that meant was he had some property, and as Rashi says, Rashi always supports the Kesef Mishnah. It was his own field. He was not a worker. It means he had his own fields, and he watered his own fields because he could just spend an hour every day watering his own fields. and make his parnasa, the kavod, because he was a landholder. So why should he take money from people if he could easily make his own parnasa in an hour a day? And that's why he said, just give me someone else to water my fields, because this is my hour of water. But he wasn't like a full-time field waterer, like a day laborer, like a, you know, a, I don't know, like a Sri Lankan guy who comes into Israel and waters fields. Kas v'shalom, like as Mish says, you think that? Think Gedolei Torah of Chazal were like that? No. Man, he's a landholder who every morning watered his fields. And he says, look, if I can make my own parnasa every morning because I own fields, I might as well. That was a mechuppet parnasa already, and it was a quick parnasa.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying you only work a few hours a day. Like only a small portion of the day.
And a chanami, but I think he was saying this is even a smaller portion, meaning he wasn't earning a salary. How long does it take to water your own fields? Depends how big. But Lemaisa, I think that the third possible sfar as well, which is interesting, and is when the Ramah brings down the halacha, he says, "V'yeshem akilin old lomar." Some people are more makel say, "Motu l'chacham tamidol v'kapal spekos v'nosnim k'de l'hachzik k'de lom de'torah shal yideze yuchol lasso p'torah berevach." Some people are more makel say it's even mutter for chacham and tamidah chachamim to take salaries, stipends from people who donate, just in order to support lom de'torah. So it could be there's a third svar, maybe just for Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah should be supported because Talmud Torah is such a great thing that people deserve to be supported if they learn Torah. And he doesn't even mention any connection to the Tzibur. It's interesting, the Shach here quotes to the Maharshal and the Kesef Mishnah, the idea that it's necessary for the Tzibur. The Ramah doesn't necessarily mention that. So it could be there are three different philosophies that could explain why it's important to give money, why our minhag is that it's important to be mefarnes Talmidei Chachamim. Number one, maybe only for the leader, the Rashiva and the Rabbanim. Kohen HaGadol Me'echad. There's an idea that a leader has to be an effective leader. To be an effective leader, he needs a good parnasa. Number two, the Kesef Mishnah. Sarchei Tzibur. It's considered one of the needs of the Tzibur, and that's why we can even tax for it. It's a need of the Tzibur to have Talmidei Chachamim to be the leaders of the Tzibur. Or it could be that it's just a svar in and of itself. It's worth supporting Lomdei Torah, because Torah is a good thing. And therefore, you should support people who are doing a good thing, even if it's not necessary for the tzibur. Just 2 points to end with. Number one, the Ramas is the end. Of course, all of this is if someone needs the money. Says if someone can make his own parnasa, and still learn properly, right? If someone's able to learn and make their own parnasa, they have such an easy parnasa that it doesn't interfere with their learning, then that's better. However, most people, he said, just can't both learn and make a parnasa. It's impossible to do both, because you won't be able to succeed at learning properly if you're busy with the parnasa, because there's only so many hours in the day, and it's hard to make a living, and it's hard to succeed in Torah. So, and it's clearly the idea behind this is that if someone has means of support, then they're not supposed to take money for learning Torah. That would be in a kardam lachborbo. All the halacha means if someone does not have means of support, then they have to choose between going to work and learning Torah, and they choose to learn Torah lishma, and because of that they need to be supported, then that's what the Rambam holds as usher, but everyone else, and we paskin is mutter. The other point is exactly, you know, in what way is this mutter? What's the reason for it to be mutter? So we saw different theories. Lich Ora, it's hard to know how we pass him. The Shach does bring down the Kesef Mishnah here. I think it makes probably most sense that our system nowadays is based on the idea of the Kesef Mishnah. Meaning it's hard to tell. Meaning is it only, you know, Mutter Mifarnes, a Rosh Hashiva and a Rav, to ensure that his words are that he's respected by the masses? Or, no, that's not our minhag. We're mefarnes all Talmidei Chacham. Is that only to serve the tzibur? Or is that just for themselves so that they can learn Torah, because learning Torah is a good thing? So, it's a little unclear, but I think that probably makes more sense to view it, especially for those who are being supported in Kolel, etc., and those who are supporting Kolelim, is that I think the Kesef Mishnah is right. It could be that there's no moral justification or halachic justification just because someone's learning Torah to support them, necessarily. Certainly, you wouldn't say that the community is obligated to support them. Certainly, no one says the community is obligated to support them just to support learning Torah. If someone wants to learn Torah, maybe they should have to worry about it on their own. But the point is that now that you need people learning Torah, in order to serve the community. You need people teaching shiurim, you need people being the rub of a community, you need people influencing others, and you need you need people going through the yeshiva and the kollel system in order to produce the requisite number of leaders that we need for the next generation. So I think that those who who give money to support Lomdei Torah should feel the obligation to give money in order to fulfill the needs of the tzibur, and those who take money for being Osek Torah sitting in Kolel should feel the achrayas, the Kesem Mishnah would say, that they're not just here like they're the beneficiaries because they're so great so everyone else gives them money, but that they have a responsibility on their shoulders. That doesn't mean everyone learning in Kolel is going to end up being a Rosh Hashiva. If a guy's learning in Kolel realizes he's never going to be a Rosh Hashiva, then he should go out and change courses and be a doctor and shouldn't say, well, since I took money for learning in Kolel, therefore I should be a failed mechanich or a failed shul rabbi. Okay, yeah. The whole point is you need a lot of pool of people learning so that some of them will succeed and become manhigim. But everyone should realize that ultimately when someone does receive money from the community to learn, they're having a chrayus to the community because of that, and it's because they're expected to potentially, if possible, if they succeed, obviously they might fail, but if they succeed, to pay the community back, not by repaying money, but by serving the community, because ultimately they're in this, according to the Kesem Mishnah, for Tzarchei Tzibur. The Rambam felt that someone would become a Rosh Yeshiva while working every day, because the Rambam had faith in people that they would be able to... so that's part of what the Kesem Mishnah says. It says nowadays it's not so easy to do. Maybe the Rambam was overly naive both about how much someone could learn and about how little someone could work. Right. So this is a little tricky. I mean, if you keep the Kesem Mishnah's model that it's for Tzarchei Tzibur, then the point is that the ideal is not for everyone. Obviously, the ideal can't be for everyone to be learning in Kolal in the ultimate sense because someone has to pay the bills. But... a community should not be based, I think, according to the Kesem Mishnah, at least on the idea that everyone should learn in Kolel just because that's how we should support the community. Community should be based on the idea that enough people should be learning in Kolel enough of the time in order that they supply whatever Torah needs the community has. But in economy, the Kesem Mishnah would say you should be oriented in a communal fashion. I mean, that's, look, in our community, I think that's our minhag. And as you ask Rav Schechter how the Kolel works in YU, let's say, he'll tell you, look, everyone in the world is not supposed to be learning in Kolel. The point of the Kolel is that we want to produce a certain type of people, and therefore everyone shouldn't be learning in Kolel their whole life. We want to produce a certain number of people who are going to be the leaders, and everyone should learn in Kolel as much as necessary to build them up. Some people should learn for X number of years, and then they'll go out and teach third grade. Other people should learn more years, so they should become Rosh Yeshiva. You know, obviously different levels of training are needed for different jobs. But ultimately, you're supposed to be serving the Jewish people. I think that's the YU Hashkafa on Kolel, and I think that comes very much not out of the Rambam. The Rambam would say no Kolel. But that doesn't work. From my side, it doesn't work. Whether the Rambam's right or wrong, Esas Hashem, it's not going to work. We'll all be Amaratz and we'll all be not from if we try that. But I think the Hashkafa is very much Kesef Mishnah. The point of the Kolel is to serve the Tzibur. The point of paying the Rosh Yeshiva is to support them in order to serve the Tzibur, not in order to increase their personal level of spirituality. Now, it could be that other people would disagree. Other people say no. The Tashbates does seem to hold, does have this idea that just supporting Talmid Chacham is a good thing. So other people would say no. Just good for as many people to learn and be supported as possible. So the Kesem Mishnah takes a middle ground, which I find very compelling, which is that, you're really supporting the community. That's the thing Yom Shel Shlomo says. If a guy has a yeshiva, he wants to be a vatel's yeshiva to work, that's not a mitzvah to be machmir like the Rambam, that's an avera. He should be teaching Torah as much as possible. It's hard to tell. I mean, the Tashbates, he has 8 simanim. He discusses it at great length. You should really look at it someday. But he does have an idea that it's just kavod haTorah to support people learning Torah. Just kavod haTorah. He has a paragraph about that. So it might be that it's just kavod haTorah to have people learning, regardless of whether the tzibur needs it or not. And the Ramah doesn't mention the tzibur needing it. So if someone wanted to say, I base my whole community on the idea everyone should be learning at Kolel and be marbe kavod haTorah, and we should have the most learning and support people, the Ramah doesn't say tzarchei tzibur. The Kesem Mishnah says the Ramah doesn't in his second day. So certainly there's a shita like that. I just think the Kesef Mishnah Sheet is more, you know, is more compelling and intuitive. No, in a chenami, it all depends. You know, you have to. And as if I were to say, look, I'm going to have a kolol and bring in 10 guys to learn Torah in this community, and they're not necessarily going to have any jobs. They'll lashpa in the community. Then that is a tzarchet tzivra, and there are a lot of kolels like that. But if I'm going to say everyone's going to be learning in kolel, at a certain point, I don't know if that's really the tzarchet tzivra anymore. I don't know if that's what the Kesef Mishnah compares it to. One thing that's for sure is if you're talking about being mechayev of people to pay for people to learn Torah, that I think is very clear. That only works. You can only be mechayev, you can only tax people to pay people who are learning kolel for tzarchet tzivra. You can't tax people to pay for people to learn the Torah just to increase Torah. That no one has the obligation to pay taxes for. That, I think, is for sure. Question is whether that's an option. But no one has as obligated to pay that. I don't think anyone would say that you can say we're taxing people to pay for people to learn Kolel just for their own spiritual growth. No, that's for sure no one's making it like that. If you're going to tax people and make them pay money, that's only mutter if it's for Tzarchi Tzibur. Look. You know, having good spiritual leadership is no less important than having, you know, than repaving the roads. Okay, so that's a little bit of food for thought and halacha about taking money for learning Torah. But I think one thing for sure is that, you know, all the poskim write nowadays is an avera to follow the Rambam, and I think they're right, Lamaisa. And as all the poskim said, it's not practical to follow the Rambam. It sounds nice. If someone can get away with it, that's great. If you inherit $1 million. I mean, $1 million is not what it used to be, but you can stretch it a little. If you inherit $1 million, that's great. Follow the Rambam. No one says you should take money. If you can support yourself, you know, if you have some tremendous skill, you know, and you could charge $500 an hour for some special consulting because you're like the only guy who knows how to solve a certain computer program, and so you work 1 hour every day and you sit and learn, you're very chov parnasa, that's wonderful. You know, if you're a, you know, what's the guy's name, Warren Buffett, and you spend 10 minutes trading on the internet every day and you make $1 trillion, so you should sit and learn. You shouldn't take a kolel stipend. But ains and midas kolatam. 99% of people can't do that, right? If everyone tried to be Warren Buffett, they would just lose all the money they had. So lemaisa, I think that we do need to not follow the Rambam nowadays. But perhaps sure it would be like the Kesef Mishnah. That's for tzarchi tzibur, not necessarily for the tzarchi yachid. And certainly, no one's obligated to support you, to support people learning, just for their own personal spiritual growth. That's for sure. No one's obligated to. The only time the community is obligated to support Torah institutions is if those Torah institutions serve the community, which they generally do.
If we split the Rambam between the person who's working and learning, it's 3 hours a day and 9 hours. And when he talks about the Kether Torah, the Stephen Pasna, I assume, like, you know, people say it's not right, but I assume he didn't think this Talmud should go on really. I think it's half hour work week or
whatever. Yeah, and Echonami, right? The Rambam's Baal HaBas learned 3 hours a day. So the guy who had the Kether Torah the Baal HaBas worked 3 hours a day. So the guy who had the Kether Torah probably worked 1 hour or 2 hours a day.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah, but the only problem.
To learn half hour a day and make $50 for telling, I assume that's all the Rambam thinks he actually should, because he thinks he should dust.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, it doesn't, Lemaisa, it doesn't seem to work nowadays. It might sound good in theory, but it doesn't seem to work. The Enochanami, if someone said, I can eat bread and water and live on $50 a day, then, you know, that would be great, but you can't run a religion that way. Okay, let's go on to the Gemara a little. We can always ask questions later, and let's start the Inyan of Kibud Av Ha'Em, which I promised Ari that I would start 40 minutes ago. A half an hour ago, rather. Back to the Gemara. Kol mitzvah ha'aval ha'bein v'chuli. All mitzvahs ha'aval ha'bein, men and women are equally chayiv. My kol mitzvah ha'aval ha'bein. What does that mean? Ilei mekol mitzvah. This is just a parallel to the first discussion of Chav Tesam and Aleph. Ilei mekol mitzvah ha'chayiv av lo yedra. If mitzvah ha'aval ha'bein means mitzvahs the av has to do for the son. Nashim chayavos? What do you mean? Men and women are equally chayiv and mitzvahs the parent does for the son? V'atanya ha'av chayiv ev no lamula v'lefdoso av evini malo. The Bryce says the av is chayiv to give a son a bris and a pidyon ben. The diuk is the father, yes, the mother. No, everyone knows the mother's pater from her parental obligations. Amr Yudah Yom Yehuda says this is what the Mishnah means. Called mitzvahs ha'av hamutelos al bein. Not mitzvahs the av has to do for the bein, but mitzvahs about the av that the ben is obligated. All filial mitzvos that the ben has to do for his father. Echad anoshim, the echad anoshim chayav. And men and women are equally chayav. Tanin al hadzon rabbanan. Therefore, we now have a source in the Mishnah for something taught in the Braisa. Ish Ish, I only derive a man has to fear his parents. Ish, how do I know a woman has to fear her parents? She'omer, tiro, arekan shnayim, since says tiro, in plural language, that means two people have to fear their parents, both men and both sons and daughters. So, both sons and daughters, that's the makar for our Mishnah, called mitzvahs, ha'avala bein, all mitzvahs, filial mitzvahs about the parents which are imposed on the children. Sons and daughters are equally chayavim. Im came out tomalomer ish. So why did the Torah say ish if it's taka both of them? The answer is ish sipe biyadolasos, isha in sipe biyadolasos. A man has the ability to do kibbut of aim, because he's the master of his own household, and if he decides he wants to go and chabit his parents, then he can. A woman doesn't have the ability to do it because she is meshuvah to her husband, and she cannot, right? Let's say, the father is, someone's father is very old and really needs you to come and stand at his bedside all day and take care of him. So the husband can go do that because no one's going to stop him. But the wife, the husband's going to say, what do you mean? You have to stay home there. You have to take care of the house. You have to take care of the kids. You can't just go and spend all day with your father. Therefore, the Torah said, ish, because a man is always able to keep it of aim, but a woman, when she's married, is not practically able to do keep it of aim, and therefore, she doesn't have to do it. Because someone else's reshus, someone else's authority extends over her. But of course, Vidi Rav says, if the daughter gets divorced, right, and who adin, if the daughter is divorced, or if the daughter is widowed, or if the daughter is single and not yet married, then the son and daughter are equal. Meaning, a son and daughter are equal in kibbut av aim if the daughter's unmarried. The only time that's tiro, plural, or unmarried daughter, is exactly the same. The only time we say ish, that the son is chayiv, not the daughter, is if the daughter's married, then the ish, the son is chayiv, but the daughter is pater because she can't do kibbut av aim because she is under the control, she is meshubed to her husband. Now comes a big discussion in the Rishonim, which we've seen, which is that we are now interpreting a pasuk. Lechor, if we're interpreting a pasuk, we're dealing on the level of the oraisa. So the question is, what does it mean, me the oraisa, that the woman cannot do kibbut av aim because there's reshus achirim aleha? What does that mean, me the oraisa? Right? We normally think because, right, what's the halacha? Perhaps you know the halacha, mais yodeha lebal, a woman is chayiv to work, and not necessarily to work outside the house. I mean, she doesn't have to go be a doctor and a lawyer, but she's chayiv to work, to do whatever kind of work is possible for her to do. And whatever money she earns or whatever she makes in the business goes to the husband. The Gemara tells us that, how do we know, what's the mucker of this din, that mais yodeha lebal, that the wife has to work for her husband? It is a takana drabbanan. Why did the rabbanan make this takana? Why did they give away the wife's money to the husband? Why did they make the wife have to work for her husband? Who says she's her husband's worker? So the Gemara says it was based on the principle of fairness. Tiknu ma'isiyadeha tachas mazonoseha. The rabbanan were mitakin the wife has to work for her husband in exchange for the fact the husband has to support the wife. Because Al said, look, it's not fair. The husband has to spend money to support the wife. And the wife doesn't have to do anything for the husband. She just gets free money and she sits around on an easy chair and watches TV. So that doesn't seem right. So therefore, Chazal said, the husband has to support his wife, but midrabanan, the wife has to work for the husband, and even though obviously the wife's not going to make a lot of money, women didn't make a lot of money, she's in 99% of the time not going to be able to make as much money as it costs to support her. Right, if you count her clothing and her food, etc., she's not going to be able to make that much money anyway, but she should at least partially offset the cost of supporting her by working. So if it costs the husband $20,000 a year to support his wife, she should at least work a little and make $10,000 a year, and that way ease the burden on her husband. That's what Chazal said. Therefore, Chazal said that if the woman actually makes $100,000 a year, then she could say, you know what, forget this deal, I'll just keep my own money and support myself. She has the right to do that. She has the right to say, eini mizonis ve'eini osa. I'm not taking money from you, and I'm not working for you. But since normal cases, a woman could not make enough money to support herself, therefore, Chazal said, in the normal case, she has to work for her husband as much as she can, and the husband supports her. That way, the husband ends up losing money, but at least there's some element of reciprocity here. That's a takana d'rabbanan. Now, what's the obvious problem that all the Rishonim had? The Rishonim had the following problem. Why can't a woman do kibbut av aim? Because she has to work for her husband. The problem is that if she only has to work for her husband, midrabanan, then midaraisa, she doesn't have to work for her husband. So what did the Gemara mean when the Gemara said, ish sipi biyadolasos, but isha ain't sipi biyadolasos? What's shot of the Gemara? Midaraisa, what did Hashem mean when he said, ishi mo? He meant the woman can't do keep it over, but why not? Midaraisa, she doesn't have to work for her husband. Midaraisa, she can sit in a chair and watch TV. So why can't she go help her father? So who asked this question? Tosos. And what does Tosos answer? Tosos answers, even though it's only drabbanan, she has to work. Says even on the daraisa level, forget about what she has to do. It's a question of where she lives. Not everyone lives next door to their parents. Right? If she lived next door to her parents, that's one thing. But if she lives in Minsk and her parents live in Pinsk, then Mida Oraisa, she is chayev to live with her husband. I mean, live with her husband, euphemistic for conjugal relations. I mean, in the most literal sense. She's chayev to live with her husband, in the house with him, and stay as part of his household. And she can't just say, I'm taking a train to Pinsk and I'm going to take care of my father. Right, her father's in a nursing home in Florida. She can't just say, I'm flying to Florida, I'll be back, you know, in 3 years. She has to stay in her husband's household. That, Tosa assumes, is midoraisa. Tosa says, even though midoraisa, she doesn't have to work, midoraisa, she has to live at home with her husband. Doesn't mean she has to stay home 24-7 and she can never go out to the grocery store. But it means that if her father doesn't live close by, and most of the time, her father doesn't live close by, so, right, in the Doraisa days, or Shvatim, right, if she would marry, she was from Gad, she would marry a guy from Naphtali, she would move to the tribe of Naphtali. So she couldn't go serve her father because she's not allowed to leave her husband's home. And that's a Midoraisa. What's the mucker of this Midoraisa? What's the mucker that she has to live with her just because she's married? She has to live with her husband? Midoraisa? So it doesn't seem to be you even need a mocker midoraisa. Moshe discusses it. He says, that's what marriage is ultimately. What is marriage? The Chazal, when they use the idea of, there's Eirusin and Nisuin. Anyone know what Eirusin basically is halachically? What's the main point of Eirusin? Kiddushin? What? Exactly. It asks her to anyone else. She now cannot sleep with any other man. It's considered adultery. What's the basic point of Nisuin midoraisa? What's even the Eirusin and Nisuin? Eirusin, she becomes us and everyone else. Nisuin, she enters the Rishos of the Baal. Rishos HaKayim Aleha means she moves from her father's house to her husband's house. What do we paskin nisuin means, midoraisa? So that's a very, how do you actually do nisuin? Very big machlokes to be shown, but many sheikhs hold. She actually enters the husband's house. That's why we have a chuppah, right? The husband builds a chuppah and brings the wife into it, so she's symbolically entering his house. And that's how she becomes nisuin, if you hold like that nisuin means a chuppah, which, you know, we seem to possibly hold. So, the Moshe Feinstein explains, midoraisa misvara, the whole point of nisuin, you don't need a mucker that she's chayav to live with her husband. The whole point of nisuin is that she lives with her husband now. Doesn't just mean she sleeps with her husband, it means she actually lives in his household. Therefore, it's a midoraisa, the definition of an isha nisua is that she lives with her husband instead of her father. Therefore, midoraisa, she is meshubet, she's obligated to live with her husband. And that's why she can't do kibbutz of a aim. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, this is the mucker of one of the most famous dinim ever. Rav Moshe Feinstein says, everyone knows if the husband and wife have different minhagim, what happens when they get married? She follows, says, why does she follow his minhagim? What's the mucker for that in the Torah, that she follows his minhagim? Why should she follow his minhagim? Maybe he should follow her minhagim. Maybe they should both follow their original minhagim. Why should she change her minhagim? Says, the mucker is this Tosfos in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Amud Beis. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, he actually brings down, this gets a little more complicated in the Rambam, but basically, most Rishonim Paskin, that the minhag, what do you have to follow? The minhag, huh? The minhag of your makom. What if I move to a new makom? Then I follow the minhag of a new makom. So he says, when a wife gets married, even if she doesn't actually move to a new makom, even if she owned an apartment in the city and she gets married and they still live in that apartment in the city, but halachically, she moved to a new makom. Because she used to be in the reshus of her husband, of her father. Now she's in the reshus of her husband. Halachically, Mida Oraisa, when she gets married, she's in a new mukkel. She is now in the reshus of the Baal. And how does Tosfos interpret reshus of the Baal? Geographically, she has to live with her husband. Therefore, that's like if her husband is originally from Poland and her father is originally from Morocco, she followed the Moroccan minhagim. When she gets married, She's now moving to her husband's Masorah because she's now entering the geographical Rosh Hashanah. He says, based on this Tosos, explains why she has to follow them and hug him of her husband because she's moving to a new Makom. When you move to a new Makom, you have to accept him and hug him of that new Makom. And it's considered a move because that's the, and it says, the Etzem definition of Nisuin, halachli Midor Reisa, is the move from the Makom of her father's house to the Makom of her husband's house. And that's why she can't do Kibbutz of Aim. Okay, there's a lot more to say about this, but I don't think we can say it right now because we have to go set up the first shift of lunch. Unfortunately, I won't be here tomorrow. I have to attend a Levaya, and I have to leave first thing in the morning before we finish our work in order to get there on time. So we'll have to pick this up on Sunday. Does anyone know what the schedule is Sunday for the waiters? Yeah, I mean there'll be much less, there'll be less meals served. Yeah, so let's assume that she'er on Sunday. I assume morning seder will be as normal Sunday. The tinus shouldn't interfere with our morning seder. Afternoon seder, okay, is always optional on a tinus. So let's assume that Sunday we'll have she'er the regular time, or check the bulletin board for updates. Tomorrow, unfortunately, I would have liked to finish this inyan, but I won't be able to be here, so we'll continue on Sunday.
With Rabban Gamliel and Rabban Azar ben Azariah and Yeshua, the whole case there, that it's not that they're making him, if they look for Rabban Azar ben Azariah, they're making him an usher, that he's an usher already.
There he's an usher already. So you're saying, why
can't
they?
That's what they're looking for. They're not, otherwise,